In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we call John 3:16 the gospel in a nutshell. I don't know what everyone means by that, and maybe we've said it so many times that we're not quite sure what we mean by it, but I assume it means something like, if you open up the shell of that verse, you see there the heart, the kernel, the fruit of the gospel, that it's sort of the gospel in miniature. Not sure what the shell is supposed to be in that illustration, but it's true. If we mean something like the seed that contains everything of the plant in it, and you plant it in the ground, and from that seed, everything that is the plant, it grows up, and it spreads out, and you see then the branches, the trunk, the leaves, the flowers, the fruit. You see all of it unfold from that one seed. It's all there. It just needs to grow and unfold from it. Then it's true. And in John chapter 3, we see everything. We see everything the Lord has done for us, everything God has done for our salvation, His love, and what it means to be conformed to the life of Christ, what it looks like actually to follow Jesus. It starts with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a prominent person among the Pharisees, and he comes to Jesus at night, and he says that, "We know," presumably Nicodemus and some of the other Pharisees, "we know that you are a teacher come from God, because if God were not with you, you would not be able to do the signs that you do, these impressive things that we have seen you do. You wouldn't be able to do them if you were not from God." Jesus wants to know from Nicodemus, what does it mean that I have come from God? What does it mean that God has sent me into the world? What does it mean that I have been sent into the world? He says to Nicodemus, unless you are born from above. The word really means from above, although it can mean again. Unless you are born from above, you will never see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born from the water and the Spirit, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. John the Baptizer saw the kingdom of God, and it was in the water of the Jordan River. John says, "The one who sent me to baptize with water, he said, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, that's the one for whom you've been waiting. That's the Messiah. That's the anointed one.' And John said, 'I saw it. I saw the Spirit descend and remain on Jesus.'" Water and the Spirit, there is the kingdom of God. John saw it, and Jesus tells Nicodemus, unless you see it, unless you see it by water and the Spirit, that the kingdom of God is here, then you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus does signs throughout the Gospel of John to show people where the kingdom of God is. John doesn't call them miracles. He calls them signs, because signs point to something. Signs tell you where something is. So Jesus does signs to say, here, where he is, there's the kingdom of God. Signs like changing water into wine to show that there is a new creation that's beginning in which there will be no lack. Signs like multiplying bread and fish for 5,000 plus, that he is not like Moses, he is like God. And God has given him into the world. He is the living bread. Moses gave them bread by which they perished. God gives bread in Jesus' own flesh and blood by which they will live forever. He does signs like raising Lazarus from the dead, because he is the resurrection and the life. He does all of these signs to point to himself and say, look, here is the kingdom of God. It's entered into this world. Nicodemus, listen. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. The word for spirit is the same as the word for wind. So it could be the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound. But because it's the same word for spirit, Jesus probably, as he often does, says things that mean more than one thing, or that people take as meaning more than one thing. He's saying that the Spirit blows where he wishes, and he speaks, and you hear his voice. Nicodemus, you're hearing the voice of the Spirit. Right now, as Jesus is speaking, you hear the voice of the Spirit. And everyone who hears the voice of the Spirit and the words of Jesus, that one is born from the Spirit. You don't know how it happens. You don't see it happening. You just know that where the voice of the Spirit is, there Jesus is doing his work. There God is making children for himself from above. Not born in the same way as other children are born, as all children are born. Nicodemus says, how can this be to be born again? He takes it as again. How can it be that someone who is old can be born again? They can't enter into their mother's wombs again and be born. Jesus says, you're thinking according to the flesh. That's the way people are born, according to the flesh, into this world. And the way of flesh in this world is the way of death. Something else has to happen in order for flesh to live. Something else has to happen for you to have eternal life in the kingdom of God. And that something else is a someone else, the Spirit of God. The one on whom the Spirit remains, he baptizes with the Spirit in order to give eternal life. And he gives eternal life in this world because we are surrounded by death. Nicodemus was surrounded by death all the way back to Adam and Eve. Everyone surrounded by sin and death. So Jesus comes to give life in the midst of that death. That's why he points to Moses. That's why he says, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He lifted up the serpent because, as the children said, there were poisonous snakes that were biting the people and they were dying. God sent those fiery serpents among them because they said, God, you brought us out here to die. Moses, you brought us out here to die. There's no food and there's no water. Why did you bring us into the wilderness except that we should die here? God sent judgment, fiery serpents, and the people were dying. And finally, they cried out to Moses and they said, we have sinned. We have sinned. We spoke against Moses and against God. Cry out for mercy to God for us, Moses. Ask him to take away these fiery serpents. God did not take away the fiery serpents. Serpents were still there. They were still surrounded by death. And whether it was serpents or something else, sin and death surrounded them. God didn't take it away at that moment, but he planted a sign of life right in their midst. He told Moses, put a bronze serpent on a pole and put it there, plant it in the ground, and then whoever has been bitten by a serpent and looks at that bronze serpent will be healed. They had to believe the word of God. If they didn't believe the word of God and they say, that's ridiculous, we aren't going to be healed by looking at a snake on a pole, they would not have been healed. But if they believed the foolishness of God and looked at that bronze serpent, they were healed. And Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so it is necessary for the Son of Man to be exalted, to be lifted up, to be glorified. Not just a sign of life, but life itself in our midst. God did not send him into the world to condemn the world. We have enough condemnation. There's enough condemnation to go around. We're doing fine with condemnation. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He did not give us fiery serpents. We have death already. He gave his son. He put his son on a cross. In this way, God loved the world. He put life in the midst of death, so that whoever looks at him will have life. Not temporary healing from physical death, but eternal healing from eternal death. Eternal life is what the Son has come to give us. Eternal life. Isn't it strange that Moses put on the pole the sign of death? What was killing them, that's what Moses lifted up. That's what God told him to lift up. The sign of their death, what was killing them, that's what was on the pole. That's what they looked to, believing God's word. And so it is. Jesus lifted on the cross what kills us. The poison of the serpent. Sin. That's what is going on the cross. Jesus dying under the weight of our sin, because death follows sin. We're still surrounded by death. Still surrounded by the symptoms of death in the world, whether it's coronavirus, poisonous serpents, the flu, pneumonia, whatever kind of sickness and death goes around in this world, it is all, every one of those things is a sign that we are surrounded by death. It's a reminder to us that we are surrounded by death. And it, though it doesn't come, each of those things, from our individual sins, it does come from sin. It does come because this world has been poisoned with sin and death and is corrupted by death. Some people, as 1 Thessalonians says, some people look and say, peace and safety and security in the things of this world. And the things of this world is where they find their safety and security. So when that's shaken, then what do they have to trust? Paul says, when people are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them. Because the things of this world will be shaken and destroyed. But we have a safety and a peace and a security that cannot be shaken. We have eternal life. In the midst of death, we have the sign of death that actually gives life. Jesus Christ crucified for us. This is why Paul says, as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Because even though it looks like death to the world, we know. Because we have the Spirit. We've been born from above by water and the Spirit. We know that that's actually our eternal life. And that the one who was crucified, he gives that to us because he has been raised from the dead. Poured out blood and water from his side on the cross. Handed over his Spirit from the cross. And then delivers it to his people after his resurrection. Because you have been born from above, you see where your life is. You see where your security is. It's in the flesh and blood of your Lord. He delivers it to you so that you will have no fear. So that while death and sin swirl around us, there's nothing for us to fear. We will serve our neighbor in love. We will do our best not to harm them, but we will not trust in the things of this world for peace and safety. We will trust in our Lord, who is a rock who cannot be shaken, who gives us eternal life so that even if we die, we will be raised from the dead. Jesus says, "My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." Even though we can't see it, he does the same thing that he did when he was walking around on the earth. He gives us signs. He says, "Here's where the kingdom of God is. Here's where life is in your midst. Here's where my body and blood are. Here's where my salvation is. It's for you. Eternal life for you." He gives it freely so that you will not die, so that you will not perish, but have eternal life. The one who calls you is faithful. The one who forgives you is faithful. The one who heals you eternally is faithful. He will do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.